Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. And I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisoners in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
I got in a huge tax situation in 2008 because my divorce was in 2005 and my accountant had gotten in cahoots, and next thing you know, my accountant died and a girl that worked for him called my lawyer and said, "We have a problem." She had found on the floor all my tax forms for 7 years signed and with the checks stapled to them. So I'm thinking, I done signed and I done stapled the checks. Well, they were cashing the checks, keeping the money, and not turning in the tax form. They took the money out of the account that matched the exact, because I wasn't watching it.
So like, you could just see 100,000,
600,000 deducted.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm thinking it's the check. Little did I know, it was some people taking the money out.
For 7 years?
For 7 years.
How much money did that?
I ended up owing $22
million. Wow.
$22 million with the penalties. So now, wow. Listen to me, man. Me and my wife in 2008, I get the call. And the way I found out was, my lawyer called me and said, "Hey, man, we got a problem. You haven't paid taxes in 7 years." Man, what are you talking about? I paid taxes. I've been writing the checks and all this here. Oh, man. He said, "This woman found your taxes in your accountant's office on the floor." Every tax check I had written and every was stapled together for 7 years, quarterly taxes, all of it. So he said, man, that's tax evasion. You can go to prison. And I said, what are we going to do? So he said, hold on, man, let me get some lawyers. So he called up some tax accountants out of Chicago. These boys was the best. And they set me down and they said, man, we got a major problem. He said, I got a friend working at the IRS. Let me take the first year. We took the first year and we sent it in. And he said, man, well, this is an old tax return. He said, man, we got a problem. He got more, but he didn't know it. And so we need a tax payment plan. So the tax payment plan was so astronomical that it was no way I could pay this. So the deal was, if you miss one payment, we come and seize all your assets and you go into jail. That was the deal. So the way I found out I was in real bad trouble was my accountants, my former manager, lawyer, got on a conference call to discuss it. But they sent out an email with the conference call number to my assistant. But it wasn't supposed to go to me. She inadvertently gave it to me. I wasn't even supposed to be on the call. So when I logged in, they were already talking, and I just didn't announce myself. And I heard them say, nobody can live under this amount of stress. There's no way he can pay the back taxes, pay his current taxes, and his living expenses. And I heard a guy on the phone say, what are we going to do when he goes to jail? And I hung the phone up. I went upstairs. I said, Marjorie, I said, Marjorie, we got a problem. When I explained it to her, Marjorie started crying. She sat down and cried. My wife cried for two straight days. She said, Steve, what you going to do? I said, I'm going to go to work. I took every comedy gig in this country. I signed every contract. I went to work, man. I worked every single Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I went to every venue, the Verizon, Staples Center, MCI, Phillips. I sold out the Fox. I went everywhere. I stayed on the radio, man. I'm coming, sold out. I never missed a payment. And for 4 years in a row, I was sending $650,000 a month to the government. Plus, I had to pay my current taxes. I couldn't get behind on nothing. And I was living. So I was credit cards, running them up, paying them off. And finally, man, in 2012, I sold 49% of my radio company to iHeart. I got a check, man. I got me a check. And then, so I paid the government completely off to zero. And that was the first time, man, I could breathe. And then the pay-per-view, I said, let me get out of stand-up, because my wife said, Steve, you finna be a major TV star. You're going to have to stop telling the jokes you're telling, because you're going to ruin your career. Because she saw the political correctness turning. And so she said, Steve, you can stop if you want to. I said, baby, I can't ever stop telling jokes. It's who I am. She said, well, okay, but you got to watch what you say. And all of my TV shows are sponsor-driven. The radio is sponsorship-driven. I said, man, let me get out of this, because I need time to go do more TV. And so I did one last comedy show, but I did it on pay-per-view. And little did I know, for $8, you could watch my last show. I had no idea how many people was going to tune in for that. I made a lot of money. It was the biggest single paycheck I ever made. And next thing you know, I was back. Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this hen got my name on it. Something I need to know. He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you're having is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on pity way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it's on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad a cat. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
All right. Welcome to another installment of DIY Shacks. DIY stands for Build It Yourself. If you find something that you can't afford, build it or make it yourself. You can do it for a dramatically lower price out of your pocket and have what you want. All right, anyway, today's podcast is titled BRY Trump, turning problems into asset-based solutions. Now, if you've been following some of the legal wranglings of former President Donald Trump, within the last week and within the last 30 days, two court rulings have come down in civil cases where he's got to pay out a lot of money, court judgments. One of them is like for over $300 million, and the other one is probably over $100 million. So it's over $400 million knocking at the door of about a $500 million. Okay, which most people don't even earn that kind of money in the course of a lifetime or even a few lifetimes. But anyway, that's what he's got slapped with. And some people, would bend and fold under that kind of pressure. I mean, for a lot less. People have committed suicide. I mean, like one of the sons of Bernie Madoff committed suicide. And he didn't get sent to prison. His dad got sent to prison. But one of the sons of Bernie Madoff committed suicide behind, the billions of dollars in that fraud case of his dad, Bernie Madoff. And then he had another son that some say his body broke down and he contracted cancer or whatever, and he passed away. So everybody's got their pressure points or breaking points. I should say their breaking points. Where, mentally, spiritually, physically, they just break down. However, no matter what you think of Donald Trump, and I didn't know this, this wasn't even on my mind, but I was talking to a friend of mine, and he told me that Donald Trump just launched a shoe line. Okay, so we're going to talk about and essentially, it's not the fact that he launched the shoe line. And that's why today's podcast is titled BIY Trump, which means the BIYs, all of us can apply this, build it yourself. Okay? So turning problems into asset-based solutions. That's what we're talking about today. As a matter of fact, on Friday, we have a guest that'll be on. Friday, it's the working title for Friday's podcast from here on out is The Prayer Factory. It's either going to be The Prayer Factory or The Faith Factory. I don't know which one I'm going to stick with. Right now, I got it written down as The Prayer Factory. We have a guest coming on that she will tell you about a situation that she was in and how she got out of it. All right, so, and we have a physical location already where we'll be making asset-based solutions. So all that this Friday, we'll promote that during the week. Anyway, so turning problems into asset-based. So some people, and for a lot less money, okay, a lot less money have committed suicide when they owed some type of debt. Or they might develop ulcers or their body might break down some kind of way. But no matter what you think about Donald Trump, all right, who's a billionaire according to Forbes magazine, and they're less than... I know they're less than, let's look it up right now. You guys can look it up on your own, too. The number of billionaires, how many billionaires? You got 8 billion people on the planet. So, let's see, number of right. Willie, can you hear me now? If you can hear me now, Willie, text me. All right, I just found the problem. Okay, when somebody calls me on one number, it mutes out what goes out to everybody else. All right, so turning problems into assets. So what Donald Trump is, now the way I'm looking at it is we all know that Trump's a polarizing figure. All right, we're not talking about politics or nothing like that. We're just looking at this. What did this guy do? What can we all do when we're faced with a problem, particularly a financial mountain, a mountain range, and how can we get rid of it? Well, he came out with a shoe line. Okay. So that's what we're talking about today, turning problems into asset-based solutions. Now, I found out there's a Nike alone makes over a bit, like, matter of fact, let me go to it right now instead of guessing. Okay. Okay, Nike. Let's see what they take in. Okay. Nike takes in, and that's, Nike is just one shoe company. Nike's revenue for 2023 was over $51 billion. Over $51 billion. We'll go through one day how that company started. Very humble beginnings how Nike started. Essentially was a guy that started Nike. He was selling his shoes out of the trunk of his car. That's the humble beginnings of Nike. From that to over $51 billion. Air Jordans, which made Michael Jordan didn't become a billionaire by playing basketball. He became a billionaire by licensing his name and likeness to Nike, which owns Air Jordan. That's how he became a billionaire. All right. So let's go through. We're going to look at that. So Donald Trump, I mean, footwear, athletic footwear is popular. Anyway, we'll play some audio here. But the thing I want to get out here today is turn your problems into solutions. And you know what? Every problem is an opportunity. Don't get depressed when you got a problem. The bigger the problem, the bigger the opportunity you have.
There was a big win for Trump this weekend, hours after he launched his new sneaker line in a surprise visit to SneakerCon in Philadelphia. The gold Never Surrender high tops officially sold out. No word yet on if the limited supply of $399 kicks will be restocked. Jason, you're a fashionable guy. Will you be getting yourself some Trump sneakers, bright gold, so you can blend in
here
on the street?
Not at that price. Holy cow. You can get them in POTUS white or tea red. They are definitely a collectible item. You know what drives the Democrats nuts? Donald Trump does so well with blue-collar workers. Those truckers that are saying, hey, we're not going to deliver to New York City, that's the heart and soul of the Trump movement. And Democrats can't stand it. They don't understand it. Mm-hmm. They don't like it. But they try to fight back with these stupid op-eds that make no sense.
Yeah, again, Raymond, warping American politics, mega bad. You know, Dark Brandon has told us that time and time again, mega bad. But do you think this is actually pushing Trump supporters to be more enthusiastic in their support when they're constantly called deplorable, mega, radicalized, you name it?
David French's piece in the New York Times, frankly, is a little cuckoo. I mean, he talks about these MAGA threats and how it's unraveling society. I've got a couple of people I'd like David French to talk to, Justice Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett, and pro-lifers who had their clinics firebombed in the last year. I mean, this is completely unhinged. Look, there's a lot of violence happening in America. But to try to somehow throw all of that at Donald Trump's feet, even with those gold high tops, I think this is a bridge too far. But look, every time they try to say Trump, they try to stop him at a trial, or they try to throw all of this, sludge at him, he somehow survives, which must drive his opponents crazy, because even the sneaker thing, I was on social media last night. Very interesting, as you see black support eroding from Joe Biden. This is connecting with black America because they love sneakers. They're into sneakers. They love the, you know, this is a big deal, certainly in the inner city. So when you have Trump roll out his sneaker line, they're like, wait a minute, this is cool. He's reaching them on a level that defies and is above politics. The culture always trumps politics. And Trump understands culture like no politician I've ever seen.
Question for you on that point, though.
Yeah.
Will the people that are excited about the sneakers and excited about Donald Trump, will that translate into them going out and voting for Donald Trump?
Well, anybody willing to put $400 down for a pair of sneakers, yeah, I think that's commitment and love.
I hope you're right.
It's something. It's affection on some level. I don't think this is just for collectors. It's for people who want Donald Trump brand sneakers. That, again, he's connecting on a different level.
I hope he brings new voters into the fold, though, because I have a feeling the people that are going to go buy the $400 sneakers were probably going to vote for Trump anyway. So that's my concern. How does he get new voters into the fold? That's my concern.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. Hey, click here to subscribe to Fox News YouTube page and catch our hottest interviews and most compelling analysis. You will not get it anywhere else.
Sneaker Con, Philadelphia. Donald Trump is in the building. He's signing sneakers. They had an auction for a pair of Donald Trump's Never Surrender sneaker. It's a gold sneaker with hits of the flag on it. And this man paid $9,000.
I'm the one that won your signed sneakers here at Sneaker Con in Philadelphia. Was very, very extremely happy to see you, see your face, and you speak to the crowd. Hopefully, we're going to have a winning celebration. Hopefully, we're going to have a winning celebration come this November. I will be wearing these one-of-one Donald Trump signed sneakers, but the only president I recognize
Roman
in the last 4 years, Donald J. Trump.
And how much did you pay for them?
$9,000, the bidding ended at.
You bid $9,000?
Well, it was an auction, so it kept going and going and going.
Very happy.
I wasn't going to stop until I won them. So.
Really?
Congratulations. Thank you very much.
I'm going to pass this on to President Trump. And what is your name?
I'm Roman Sharp.
And where are you from?
Philadelphia.
Great.
There you go.
Congratulations.
Pretty popping in video.
And let's see the signature. Congratulations.
Thank you. Think it's worth
$9,000? Donald Trump shoes. So I was one of a handful of people that were selected to go to SneakerCon and hang out and meet Mr. Trump. He decided to drop a shoe. A little different. He signed it.
It looked better in
one
hand,
of the first
like
ones.
Close up. I'm not
friends
and
family, only 50 made. Cool thing too is that
they don't look bad.
After he signed it, he handed me the marker that he signed it with. It says White House. And it's got his signature. So
that's
money. Captain America once.
I think so.
First time
America
a president's
once.
Ever decided to make a shoe on his own. Gotta respect it. Love him or hate him.
That's
these are
big
pretty
moves
rare.
Right there, man. That's pretty big moves right there. A little smorgasbord of different stuff that was going on today. I really wanted to cover $9,000 that man paid for. Roman is his name. I put some information on the screen, and in the beginning of every clip, we did give credit to where I got these clips from, you know, when we're using with fair use, of course, as media, press. I think the shoe looks better than from a distance when Trump had them in hand. I don't think they look that bad. I'm not looking at them like, oh, my God, I got to have the Air Trumps, you know, like I'm not there with it. But they look better than in the photos. Did you want a pair? They did sell out. They really sold out in about 2 hours, 2 to 3 hours. Sold out retail was $399.99. And did you pick them up? What do you think of them? We did a reaction to his whole speech at SneakerCon. The chat was on fire. I hope the comment section is on fire on this video right here. How do you feel about Donald Trump being at SneakerCon? I did do a video on the Dell Show speaking on that, and I will lightly talk about it right now. I think that is messed up on SneakerCon's part for having Donald Trump there without giving people a fair warning. Some people don't want to be around politics. Some people have the weekend off. They bought tickets months in advance, and they went to SneakerCon for, you know, like a vacation, right? They may not have wanted to deal with all of that, whether they are political and they don't like Donald Trump, or they just didn't want to be around that situation at all, you know? I think that was really unfair that SneakerCon did that to their customers, their guests, right, that paid money to attend for what they thought they were getting. They got Donald Trump, I guess, as a special guest, so I guess that's how they could get away with that, because they do have special guests there, right? But when it comes to politics, some people don't want that, right? There's people that are watching this video right now, and they're praying that I do not do another Donald Trump video ever on the Sneaker Addict. This is a big deal, having a president at a sneaker convention. I promise you this is not going to be an ongoing thing. But today, this is the hot topic, okay? Some people get upset. They see anything that has to do with politics, they don't want to have nothing to do with it, and I respect that. But this is a big effing deal when it comes down to having Donald Trump at SneakerCon. That just sounds crazy. And you got to watch the reaction video we did not too long ago. It was bonkers. It's so just surreal. It just doesn't even like feel like what I was watching was real. And I watched the playback, and it's just magic. Just seeing the reaction of the chat. And as we get deeper into the video, it just gets crazier and crazier in the chat. So definitely watch that and read all the comments. What's your thoughts on the sneaker? Do you think it's worth even $400? Forget about the gentleman that paid $9,000. Do you think the shoe is a good investment for $4,000? Do you think the sneaker is a good price for the shoe in general? You think it's a nice pair of kicks? Do you think they're trash and you wouldn't pay a dollar for them? I want to know. And I do also, of course, want to know, did this man that paid $9,000, do you think that this is a great investment or a stupid investment? And it ain't going to be worth shit. I think that it will eventually be worth a lot of money, that shoe. Unfortunately, when it comes to celebrities, people like presidents, when they pass away later on in life, sadly, that's when that shoe is probably going to be worth a fortune. Small fortune. Not like big, but it's going to be worth a little bit of money, I think. Maybe wrong. Now it's your time. If you haven't already, chime in. If you already left the comment, leave another one. Hit the like button. Gives me the energy and the love to keep doing these videos. All right? Peace and love.
We're going to remember SneakerCon, you know that.
SneakerCon, Donald Trump is at SneakerCon right now.
They're all sneakerheads. They're sneakerheads, right?
What a trip.
Does everybody in the room consider themselves a sneakerhead? I think so.
I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone, right? Donald Trump sells a sneaker for $399 and it sells out within an hour at SneakerCon. Very strange. I heard the news last night, didn't believe it, and then what do you know? We reacted to it live on the Sneaker Addict. I just wanted to show you some of the reaction. Crazy, unusual situation.
But we have lines going all around the block. They're going all around this block. They've never seen anything like this one.
I just want to tell you,
I've wanted to do this for a long time. I have some incredible people that work with me on things, and they came up with this, and this is something I've been talking about for 12 years, 13 years, and I think it's going to be a big success. Your influencers have been very positive.
Wow.
They've been real influencers.
That influence talk.
They love it, and they love what we've done. That's the real deal.
He got his own sneaker.
That's the real deal.
This is real life, right? This is so crazy, right?
We appreciate it. We really appreciate it. More than anything else, I appreciate the turnout. Because they say they've never had a turnout like this, and we're
going to
do things that are terrific. And, you know, it's very important. What's the most important thing?
All right, today's podcast is titled BIY Trump Turning Problems into Asset-Based Solutions. Okay, now, so people won't get, I'm not promoting, I'm not pro-Trump, I'm not negative Trump. What I'm looking at is what an individual has done, in this case Donald Trump, who was slapped with two mind-boggling judgments of practically of $500 million. He can appeal it because these are new judgments that have come down. But for right now, over $400 million. And you have people who have killed themselves, committed suicide because they don't know how they're going to pay the mortgage. They don't know how they're going to feed their family, which happens all the time. Okay. However, what this guy does is he doesn't look at a problem as most people do in a negative light. What he does is he looks at a problem. You know what? This is an opportunity. And I'm going to take this opportunity and I'm going to turn it into an asset, an income-producing asset. So what we're going to do today is we're going to take a look at how problems are really opportunities. And one of the opportunities that they present, it's not the only opportunity, but one of the opportunities that they present, depending on the type of problem that you have, is you can turn that problem into an income-producing asset. Thus, today's podcast is titled Turning Problems into Asset-Based Solutions. So he's got the way to pay off those humongous judgments, over $400 million between the two, and he's not even finished yet. Now, let's look at some things that he did that some of you might be listening. You could have a big financial problem on your hands right now. So number one of the things that he did is he thought outside the box. This was not conventional thinking, but we're going to bring some other examples on here with audios, and then on our Facebook page, which is BIY Checks, we put two of the videos up there too. But thinking outside the box, okay. And he came up with, and well, you heard what he just said. He had been thinking about coming out with his own shoe line for 12 years. Now, the right opportunity with these two lawsuits presented themselves on how he's going to pay for it. The judgment's been rendered now. So they can't up it. Now, he can probably appeal, which he probably would have tried to get it lowered. But even if it doesn't get lowered, the sneaker industry, I mean, Nike alone, that's just one shoe company. Nike alone did over $51 billion last year. Now, looking at Trump, and like 24 hours ago, I didn't know this. A friend of mine was talking on the phone last night, late last night. He told me about, you know, the Trump shoe line. I didn't even know about it until, you know, late last night. But in the past, he's also released in the form of asset-based solutions, Trump Water, Trump Steaks, that was going through, I forgot one of those magazines, Sharper Image. He had Trump Steaks. Of course, you know, his thing, his bread and butter is hotel rooms and resorts and that type of thing. But the lesson out, and I'm not trying to get everybody on Team Trump or nothing like that. What I'm saying is this. If you got a problem, the solution to that problem, matter of fact, you should be jumping for joy. The bigger the problem, that means the bigger the reward is you just got to get through the fear and doubt. And you got to look at it differently, because essentially that problem can be turned, well, that problem contains a solution. Now, Nike takes in, once again, over $51 billion. So that's what they took in last year, over $51 billion. And if you can look up Converse, Adidas, I mean, it's probably a trillion-dollar industry, just athletic footwear. So Donald Trump, like I say, he sold out. One person paid $9,000 because he has a limited run on the shoes. He went to Sneaker Con. So, and here's the thing: where people have to look at, particularly on an entrepreneurial level, with the internet putting out this information, and we can communicate in real time through social media and social networking. All right. There's no college that's going to be teaching you this. There's no MBA program, Masters of Business Administration. You have to be tuned in to what's trending. Where's the culture going? Locally, regionally, nationally, internationally. All right. Donald Trump, regardless of what you think about him, and he's really not a politician, although he has been president of the United States, but he's tuned into the culture. One statistic that I picked up this morning is just in the black community in the United States, black households in the United States, this is, I'm reading this stat, this is not my stat, black households in the United States spent an average of $639 on footwear in 2019, which was an increase from $419 the year before. All right. So there's a profession out there, like the professions of doctor and lawyer, you know, go to law. Well, there's a lot of people in law school that are working at McDonald's now, at the post office. The new entrepreneurs, or like the new millionaires, or eBayers, or people who YouTubers. But there's another profession, and Trump went to what, SneakerCon? There's sneaker expos out here. All right. So I'm gonna play a video right. I mean, not a video. I'm gonna play an audio here of somebody. And I have it on my YouTube page. Our Facebook page, which is BIY Shacks. If you want to see the actual video of, I got two videos. One is a guy that I think he makes $4 million a year. He's a sneaker entrepreneur, or a sneakerhead, as they call it in slang. Makes $4 million. The guy makes up with $5. All right. And then there's a couple of ladies on there. They're partners. They make over $80,000 a month reselling shoes. They just resell. That is a profession now. Harvard, Yale, Stanford, London School of Economics, they don't offer any courses on anything I'm talking about. YouTube University is the go-to university.
This 19-year-old is making millions per year reselling sneakers, so I spent a couple days with him to learn exactly how he did it.
We're here right now at Hype Miami, one of the fastest growing sneaker stores in the city, and it's actually owned by these guys, Marcus and Yuri. How old are you guys?
I'm 19.
I'm 24.
And how much did this business generate last year?
So last year, my business personally generated about $4 million.
And I'm right under that at 3.5.
Yeah. Is that all from this retail store?
No, so before this, we actually did bulk selling of these sneakers and clothing. So what we would do is we would sell to stores like this all across America, actually internationally as well.
And now you got one of the biggest stores in the city, so let's go check it out.
Do it.
So we're surrounded by thousands of dollars worth of shoes right now. When did you guys actually start selling shoes?
So we only merged actually recently. So I started around like 2017, about 5 years ago.
And I started around 2018. Got you. And what was the beginning process like getting into the sneaker game?
So getting into the sneaker game was actually pretty, I would say, long process before I got anywhere, right? I started pretty small. The only reason I got into just selling things online was actually my parents. They kind of told me that I needed to either get a job or do something with my summer. And they basically forced me to sell all the stuff around the house. You know, I realized that it wasn't really interesting for me to sell my parents' old stuff. I wanted to sell things that I actually enjoyed, and at that time it was sneakers. The way I mostly in the beginning started scaling my business was really through like social media, like Instagram. I would say the biggest turning point in my business would have been COVID. There was a ton of sales that I was able to take advantage of from websites, and also a ton of, you know, end consumers were shopping exclusively online. So that boosted a lot of the prices and the sales for all these sneakers.
Now, 2 years later, you guys are doing pretty insane volume, right? How many shoes would you say you're selling a year? Do you know that number?
Selling a year? I want to say last year, upwards of maybe 20,000 units last year, maybe something like that.
That's insane.
Just last year.
How do you actually acquire the shoes? A lot of people are going to see a room like this. Like, how are they getting the connections? How are they picking up all these shoes at a price? How do you do that part of the business?
So you obviously have to source the more exclusive stuff and more quantity from other sellers as well. I can put it on my Instagram story, I need this, and people will, you know, respond all the time with this product for sale. I would say even sourcing it from sneaker conventions. So sneaker conventions is a big thing. We want to do that more so now that we have a store because we're able to source very specific things. So we're actually going to a sneaker event soon in San Francisco, SneakerCon Bay Area. So
yeah, we'll tag along with you guys.
Yeah, let's do it.
I think we should actually give away a pair to one of the viewers so they could get started in their reselling journey. What do you think?
Yeah, that's a great idea. Let's do it.
Which one would be the best one for us to give away?
This one for sure.
What are those?
Panda Dunks. This is a classic shoe. Everyone needs a pair of these, but I think this would be great to help anyone get started.
How much do you think they can sell them for?
Probably around like 200, 250, something like that.
Easy. Well, look, if you guys want to join that giveaway, make sure to subscribe to the channel. Follow Hype Miami on Instagram. Follow my Instagram. Drop a comment down below. But for now, let's head to SneakerCon.
Do it.
We made it to SneakerCon. So what's the goal today? What are we looking for and how much are we going to be spending?
Well, hopefully my goal is to spend about $20,000-$30,000 between today and tomorrow. Looking for the best sellers right now for the store and wholesale.
Well, look, let's walk around and maybe talk about some of the things that people should be looking for if they're trying to get into reselling.
So we're in the trading pit right now. This is where I started about 5-6 years ago. It's the best way to make money, you know, flipping sneakers real quick.
How much money do you think you need to get started in reselling today?
Honestly, with shoes being a low-ticket item, I would say $500 is a great start. You can buy one, maybe even a few pairs, and get yourself going. So the way these events kind of work is, back in the trading pit, it's more used, not as much variety. So the prices, you can be able to get some steals in there. Tables is when the prices become a little bit higher, but you can still negotiate with them if you're taking a decent amount of product.
And of course, you got the people walking around.
Yeah. So a lot of times at these events, you don't really know the market value of everything off the top of your head. So you got to check apps like StockX and Goat to check the market value.
What are you looking at there?
All right, I just noticed, for example, the Paisley Dunks. So if I'm looking at them on StockX, you know, on average, they're going for around 175 to 200, you know. So if I can purchase them in the 160 to 170 margin, it'd be good for me.
Want to go for it?
Let's try it out. How you doing, boss? How much are you asking on the Paisley? 200? Okay, yeah, I'd probably be a little lower. Take them all. Probably like 160, 165. 180.
Always got to compare.
There's hundreds of shoes. It's hard to know the market, especially because it changes, too. All right, I mean, I'd be able to do best like 170 on the Paisleys, and I'd probably be at like 175 on the Valerians. Oh, yeah, let's do it. 175 on all of them.
First deal of the day. Bro, what the hell are those shoes up here? I've never seen those before. Those are crazy.
CPFS. What are those going for?
A side hustle Tia Hall started out of her dad's garage now earns $350,000 in monthly revenue for these two women. Once you see how much of this $350,000 Tia and Anastasia keep, you might drop everything and start selling.
I'm going to replay that and let you guys see the whole thing. I made a mistake. I thought they did $80,000 a month. I stand corrected. These two ladies do $350,000 a month reselling sneakers. Attitude plays a big part of this. I'm not going to play the audio here today, but if you go on YouTube and punch in any keywords, people killed over sneakers. There's no shortage of videos on YouTube for that. Once again, for the Donald Trump thing, if you don't like him, get past that. Once again, the title of this podcast today is Turning Problems. Every problem is an opportunity. It contains at least one opportunity, if not several opportunities. Turning problems into assets. That's the message I want to get out today.
A side hustle Tia Hall started out of her dad's garage now earns $350,000 in monthly revenue for these two women. Once you see how much of this $350,000 Tia and Anastasia keep, you might drop everything and start selling sneakers yourself.
Our online orders off the charts. These are not supposed to be there at all. That was an easy way that we found that you can make money.
With those two things, we've built so many reoccurring customers.
You can give it a sniff. How's it smell?
I can tell that's real.
Yeah, and we'll even show you how to start your own reselling business with only $50.
Big thanks to Taylor Brands for sponsoring this video.
Welcome to a new episode of Upflip. My name is Caleb Puvener, and we are here with Tia Hall and Anastasia Lemley.
How's it going?
So good to meet you guys.
You as well. Thank you for having us.
Yes. So let's get right into it. Where are we standing, and why is this place important?
Basically, outside of our personal house in North Seattle right now. This is kind of where we begin our day. We wake up, we get our shipping done, and then we head off to both of our stores to start our day of business.
All right, Tia, so you're the one who originated the business and Anastasia joined later on. Is that correct?
That's correct.
About 5 years ago.
Okay, great. So tell us how you got into the sneaker business.
So basically, I used to just go to the thrift store as a hobby, and I eventually started to find some stuff in there that I was like, hey, I can make a little bit of money on this stuff. So I would buy it, take it home, list it on eBay, offer up. So it was kind of just a rinse and repeat of that process until I was able to save up enough money to kind of do it at a larger scale.
When did you start your first store?
So I resold through my dad's garage. He let me house literally everything in his garage for like 2 or 3 years. And then it just came to a point where we couldn't fit anything in there. He was kind of giving me dirty looks. You know, it was time to just make the move and grow the business. And that's when we started looking for our first brick and mortar spot.
Uh-huh. And that was in Seattle?
That was in North Seattle, yes.
Okay. So I think you eat, breathe, and sleep sneakers in
Definitely.
Your business, but what about in your personal life? Do you actually enjoy sneakers?
We do, surprisingly enough. As much as we see them, we do have actually a pretty big collection if you want to go inside and check it out.
Okay, let's go.
Okay, let's do it. So this is our personal sneaker collection. Here we have stuff that we wear every day, some stuff that we don't wear every day.
So in the beginning, would you organize stuff here and then take it out to the streets to sell in person?
We would keep the stuff at our house, and if someone called us and they said they wanted to buy that pair, we would load it into the car, go to like a dark parking lot and just like sell the shoes. So that's kind of why we've transitioned into stores. It's just a lot safer, and we've definitely moved away from doing that.
Okay, yeah.
This one is actually kind of a fun one. This is the very first Jordan ever made from 1985. So this is, what, 38 years old?
Wow.
And it's still in great condition. It's just a great collector's piece. Obviously it's too big for me to wear, but it's just a cool piece to have in our collection.
What would you say makes your business what it is today?
I would probably say our ability to authenticate and make sure a shoe is not fake, because that is a huge problem in the industry.
The most important aspect of reselling sneakers is authenticity. Stay around to find out exactly how to identify a fake using overlooked details like smell and texture. So let's get started with your day. You say you start in the house and you head to the store. What do we need to do?
Yeah, let's go load up some boxes and then just head straight to the store.
Right. Hope your back's feeling okay today.
All right, tell us where we're at now.
So we're at the Alderwood Mall now in front of our second location. We actually just had grand opening this last Saturday. So this spot is really new.
Nice. Why did you choose a mall location?
Well, one thing that we struggled with our first two locations was foot traffic. They're both standalone. So
being in a mall, obviously you get the traffic of the mall. So that is the main reason why we wanted to be here, just to get more customers through the door.
Our other two locations were destination spots, so people had to just want to come to our store. Here we get people just walking by, a lot more exposure, and it's something we've always wanted to be in the mall, but higher costs here, and it's just something we weren't ready to jump into at the very beginning. And I feel like now we're a little bit more confident with the cost, and yeah, we're excited to see what it brings.
Yeah, what's the price point at? How much are you paying for rent?
We're paying 13.5 here.
If somebody's just getting started and they don't have a lot of money, what's the best way for them to get into the industry?
First thing is to have a job. I mean, these shoes are expensive. It's not something that you can just jump into. If you don't have a good job, or if you want other ways to make money, I think doing like we did, going into the thrift stores and finding stuff that people donated that you can take home, clean and add value to it, and then resell it online for a profit. That was an easy way that we found that you can make money.
It's a lot easier to spend $5 on a shoe and sell it for $25, $30, $40 than it is to spend $200 on a shoe and try to sell it for $220, $240. Mm-hmm. Most people have an extra $5 in their pocket than they would $200, you know.
And then once you build up the money doing that, then you can jump into some of the more expensive shoes, which obviously have higher profit margins. Mm-hmm. But to start out, I think you should build up your capital as much as you can first.
Okay. You mentioned how to get started, but is there a particular skill that somebody needs to be in this business?
I think the biggest skill is being able to negotiate, learning how to talk to people, because you make your money when you buy the shoe, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't always make it when you're selling it. You have to get it at the right price to get your profit margin. So making sure you're locking in the price that makes the most profit for your business is probably the best skill that you could have.
Negotiating the purchase of your next sneaker pair is the bread and butter of this business. So to unlock your secret negotiation powers, keep watching as Tia and Anastasia show you how it's done. Okay, where are we at now?
All right, so this is our Tukwila location, basically the headquarters. This is where a lot of the business operations happen. We get our large shipments in here, clean a lot of shoes here. We ship the majority of our items from here. And, yeah, this is basically where we house
a lot of our inventory.
Yeah, a lot of it.
You're now in a much larger store, 2,200 square feet. So how did you know that Sneak City was ready for that move, and how did that help you grow your business?
I think we ran into the same issue that we did going from her dad's house into our first location. We just ran out of space. We had shoes all over the floor in Fremont. We had shoes in the back that we couldn't even come to the front. We had shoes at the house that we couldn't bring into the store. So having a bigger spot to house more was definitely the next move that we were ready for, but it mainly came down to space.
Yeah, we moved from 400 square feet to 2,200 square feet. So it was just something that needed to happen, and I think we have pretty much filled up this space, so we definitely are growing very fast.
Yeah. All right, so here at the store, can you guys show us a little bit of the layout of this and how you chose it?
The right side that we're looking at, this is all individual size. So each size has its own section, because most people, when they go shopping, they don't want to look at every single shoe. They want to know exactly what you have in your size.
Yeah.
So if you're a size 9, you go to the size 9s, and you can find everything we have over there. And then on this side over here, what we call quote-unquote bulk or multiple sizes. As you guys can see, we have 6 or 7 of the exact same shoe on each one. So on these ones, we'll have anywhere from a size 5 up to a size 13, and we do label everything. That way it's easier for everybody to find.
I'd say the stuff on this side is kind of like your everyday, you know, you see this stuff a lot more. And then on that side, it's more curated. It's a lot more of the rarer stuff. So if someone's specifically looking for something more rare, they'd probably find it on that side.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle of the store, we do have quite a long clothing rack. All this stuff that is in bags is stuff that we essentially don't want people to get their little grubby fingers on. It's a little bit more expensive, so we do keep it wrapped. And then a lot of this stuff is very popular streetwear brands. And then a little bit cheaper items here. And then at the very front, we have our own personal merch. We have quite a bit of it. We do a lot of traveling and make special merch for every event that we go to. They're like sneaker expos. So we travel all over the U.S. and we make specific merch for that exact event. That way, when people come up to the table because they want to meet us, we make a shirt exactly for the city that we're in. So this one is from Washington, D.C. But we usually try to do a monument of any sort from that exact city. And then up behind Tia over here, this is our grade school or our women's sizes. It's hard to keep this stuff in stock. Women do love their shoes, so they sell out pretty fast in these guys. But as well as our bulk, we keep a lot of those ones in women's sizes as well.
What would you say has been the biggest factor of your success?
Definitely our reputation, being able to spot fakes, being able to authenticate thousands of different shoes, as well as our online presence. With those two things, we've built so many reoccurring customers, people that come in store, and a lot of customers that buy online repeatedly as well.
So this is very different than the other location. So tell us about setting and how much that matters.
So basically, as soon as you walk into the door, you're going to see our huge front counter right here. People that are looking to sell will come straight to the front counter. And then it's kind of set up the similar way as the mall. It's kind of by size. So we got smaller sizes from the bottom, bigger sizes going up, and then they go all the way down. So again, come in, shop by size, and then if you're looking to sell, you'll come right up here.
Tell us about your team structure. Who's where and what sort of managers do you have in place?
We have our general manager, Joe, who kind of swings back and forth between both stores. He knows pretty much anything that we would know when it comes to buying, pricing, customer service. He's pretty much, you know, just the one-man do-it-all type of thing, which is really nice, hard to find. And then we physically are in the stores every single weekend. And then throughout the week, we're kind of just, you know, on call, whatever they need, we're here. And then two employees at each store every single day.
Yeah, if things are slower on the weekdays, why have two people? Why not just one?
Safety is one thing. And then the second thing is we do get a lot of shipments in from people that are selling to us, and then sellers come in as well. So having two people to be able to process shoes and get everything listed on the website and have everything organized, all the photos are taken nicely, shipping is taken care of, it's just easier for two people to do it than one.
Do you ever watch these episodes and think it's great that they're making all these recommendations on how to handle a team and how to get a good one, but right now it's just me, no team. So if UpFlip could just recommend me how to get started in my business, that'd be great. If you've ever thought that, that's why we want to introduce to you Taylor Brands. Here you can go get your business set up as an LLC and get everything you need to make your business an up-and-coming, completely covered venture. You can get all the things you didn't know.
Okay, you can watch, because there's more to that video. I placed two videos, that video and I think the video before that. If you go to our Facebook page, which is B as in boy, B-I-Y Shacks. That's our Facebook page, B-I-Y Shacks. And the two top videos, that's the last two videos I played. You can see the whole visual and you know, two ladies. Hey, you can start for as low as $50 if you want to get into. Now, I'm not saying that you should get into the shoe business. Whatever, my thing is houses, particularly tiny houses in rural locations. That's my thing, okay? Other people that we've featured on here, you know, they've made millions selling cupcakes. That's their thing, cupcakes and pastry, okay? So the message that I want to get out here today is, okay, every problem, particularly financial problem, it contains at least one opportunity, if not several opportunities. That's number one. So don't get depressed. If it's a real big problem, something that you think that you feel that's impossible, the bigger the problem, the bigger the opportunity or opportunities that exist within that, you should really become happy, all right? Because if you just, Anthony Robbins in his first book, what's this called, Unlimited Power, he has a chapter in there called, I'm paraphrasing here, The Power of Reframing. In other words, looking at a situation that might be negative, because what most people do is they look at something that's positive or that could be positive, and then they look at it negatively. But Robbins is saying if you reframe something, you can just flip it. In other words, and that's what Donald Trump has done. For people that don't like Trump, look, get past the emotionalism of it. Get rid of the politics of it. Okay, I'm speaking about here's a person, just like all of us, who has had a big financial bill hit them, but you didn't know how you were going to get the money to pay it. That's where I'm coming from today. All right? You don't know how. Now, most people might think, damn, how am I going to pay this off? I can't go to the bank. My credit score's not. I can't pull it off credit cards. And most people, they go to friends and family to try to borrow it. You know, that works sometimes. But sometimes he's got over $400 million in legal judgments that he's got to pay. Some people rob people. Because like I say early on the podcast today, some people have been killed over 10 sneakers. They don't know. They want. They see a pair of Air Jordans or whatever they want to get, and those sneakers might cost $100, $200, $300. They don't know. They don't want to. Some of them don't want to get a job to get the money. How about that for a solution? Go out and work for it. Some people don't want to get a job to work for the money. So they go out and rob people, and sometimes that robbery goes awry. If you put in Air Jordan murders or Air Jordan killers and what do you call it, YouTube, there's a bunch of videos that are going to come back. There's been absolutely no shortages of people who have been killed over a pair of sneakers. All right. However, if those same people would reframe things, they can see, man, hold it, there's a bunch of opportunities here. All right. That last audio I played, you know, the woman said, you can start for as little as $50. I have a friend of mine in Germany. What she does is she goes to a thrift store, and she looks for American brand name stuff. Now, everybody in the – all the articles in the thrift store is stuff that, you know, it's been used. It's been worn before. And she goes in there and looks for brand name stuff, buys it on the super cheap because it's a thrift store, and then she'll put together a display together. She'll take pictures of it and everything, and then she'll put it up on eBay. And she makes a nice little side hustle, and her daughters do the same thing. Got two of them. She got three people in one family making money off of a thrift store, just reselling used stuff. Suicide, I mentioned earlier. Bernie Madoff, now he went to federal prison. He had a son that committed suicide behind, you know, the debacle that his father created. And then another son, he got physically sick. But what if Bernie decided to take some of that money and, just for the sake of this conversation, started a Wall Street shoe line? Because Nike, Air Jordan, there's a lot of companies that get bankrolled through Wall Street, and there's a market for it. They're like I said, there's shoe con, there's shoe expos all over the world now. And the shoe, like I said, Nike alone takes in over $51 billion a year. That's just one company. You got Converse, you got Adidas, you got New Balance. I mean, I don't even know how many shoe companies there are. But if they're not taking in billions, you know, they're taking in millions. And it's a lot of room still left there. Donald Trump was the first president that has come out with his own shoe line. I'm sure other politicians, particularly local politicians, will get an aha idea or a moment and say, you know what, somebody running for mayor, somebody running for city councilman or alderman, you know, I mean, some, hey, churches out there, you know, you've done the fish fries for decades, you know, you've done bake sales, why not have your own church shoe line? Or if you're running for dog catcher or mayor of whatever town, come up with your own shoe line. There are towns, there are factory towns in China, in India, in Laos, in Vietnam, in Cambodia that they make some of the shoe parts that they sell. I got a friend of mine that lives in the Philippines. She works in a factory. They produce baseball mitts. And it's a, let me see if I can get her on here one day, because there's a 13-hour time difference, 12 to 13-hour time difference from where we are for where she is. But, I mean, like 39 people on a team putting together baseball mitts. But, hey, it sustains that whole, I mean, people are feeding their families. sending kids to school. So like I say, the message I want to get out here today and Friday, tune in, we got a live guest coming on. Friday, we got the working title is the Prayer Factory or the Faith Factory. We have live testimonials of people that are doing some miraculous things. It'll be a motivational type thing, but we'll explain more about the Faith Factory and the Prayer Factory on that day. That's on Friday. Anyway, so the message I want to get across today is no matter what problem that you got, if it seems impossible, it's really a time for celebration. You just have to change your mindset where you can turn your problem into an asset-based solutions. Just before I go to the phone lines right here, is so I get off this rant. If we go to 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7, where the widow, she had to face two collectors because her husband left behind some debt. The creditors came to her door and said, look, if we can't get this debt resolved, then we're going to take your two sons and they're going to work it off. That's the way it was run back then. All right. And these days it's done a little bit different. You know, you can lose your house, you can get evicted, you can get your car repossessed. You can lose something big these days still. So she went and got some advice, and then essentially she turned her house and her family, her and her two sons became, long story short, she took that problem of her husband's debt, she took that and turned it into an opportunity, which they did in 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7, and they made the money that they needed to pay off the debt and live off the rest. In 2024, with Donald Trump facing over $400 million in civil judgments, something that people, most people, I don't know how I'm going to pay this. Some people would take what they would consider the easy way out and commit suicide. This guy, regardless of what you think about him, the lesson that I'm trying to get out here today is you can take whatever problem that you have and turn it into an asset-based solution. Let's go to the phone lines here. 309, your mic is open.
Good morning, L.A.
Good morning.
Just the eye-opening thoughts of this. Now, just not because of who it is or anything else, because it could be any of you. And, you know, I'm working with one of them problems right now. And I was sitting here during the show thinking about how can, you know, I make this grow, right? What could I do to start a multiplicity? And we've already been talking about it, but one of the things is do music and start putting music on the property. We want to build 45 veteran homes for a veteran that wants a project there. It's his stuff. he might be on air here. I can tell you what is. I don't know if we have anybody on the switchboard, but I can let you know what his area code is. His name is Johnny. I told him to dial one and get on the thing. If he did, 386 would be his area code.
All right, 386, I don't see it yet, but if they press 1, we should be able to see it, but they have to press 1. So anybody that wants to get on, particularly area code 386, press 1, and then we'll patch you in.
And he's got 10 acres. He is a 2-time gold medal Olympic medalist. He lost his legs serving our country. And, you know, he's got a, you know, a story to himself, and I don't want to give that, but it's what he wants to do. Is he wanted to build 45 veteran homes on his 10 acres. And he's got a nice 10 acres there that can really put on some nice festivals on a daily basis. We could even set up things that could be there rain or shine. Doesn't matter. There's something happening. And also, while these people are, you know, everybody comes to Florida to do something. And
right.
if they could actually come and do something that would change something, and then they can be part of that growth. And, you know, this not be the only place we do, because right down the road from where he's at, you got 4 acres.
Right.
And, yeah. And
now, I'm glad you mentioned that, Chris, because I'm glad you mentioned that, because one of the things that we're launching Friday, now we'll have a guest on, a live guest, and then she'll share her testimony, is we're going to take about a quarter acre out of that 4 acres and organize what I'm calling the faith factory, the prayer factory. It, in other words, where we're going to be making something to sell on a regular basis. And our ideas will be coming from people like yourself.
No, I love it. And, you know, it, well, you know, it's like people like everybody. Just everybody can type in there and say.
Yeah, anybody who's got an idea. I mean, we can be making something 1 week. I mean, baking something 1 week and then manufacturing something the next week.
And that's what I get back into what I'm thinking here is. We manufacture one of those houses. So by the time we're done with the big blast at the last, you know, of having a festival there, they'll always be able to celebrate, but then we'll be able to see them all built. And they be built
right.
by the people at the festival.
That's an excellent idea.
Yeah, I'm sitting here, you know, it's like, what can we do to start immediately? And, you know, just bring in, you know, if nothing else, just try to grab one headliner right now and utilize the talent of the local talent and in the region talent to come.
That is an excellent idea. That's an excellent idea because you're right. There's local talent, and that's everywhere you go, really. There's local talent, and you're like, right, there's regional talent as well. You're absolutely right. And, you know, what you're talking about, that they do that in Lukenbach, Texas. Lukenbach, Texas is only like 10 acres big. That's it. But and they only have about maybe 3 people that live there.
Lukenbach,
Texas is open for entertainment 7 days a week.
Now, what would be amazing is there is a place that's not far from this that. I think it can sleep 200. It's a resort.
Okay.
But
uh-huh.
1,000 people can party, you know, very easily. As far as enjoying all the arts and crafts and the different things, because it is those vendors, you know, and those are the creations that people are creating. You know, a lot of jewelry, a lot of those different things. Are all done by those people in their hands. And these are things that can also fund the build because they'll all pay you to come and sell their stuff.
Right.
I got told that someone that I know has a guy that put the largest music event ever in New York City's history that could be possibly willing to operate this thing and get it growing. And that would be amazing because you don't know who's going to show up, right?
Right.
But we do have a plan for a series later, and I want to bring on a special guest at some point here. I did share the podcast with him, and because I wanted him to come on and get ready to see what he's doing right now. He's actually just at the Grammys, so he did it with Malik. But they're doing stuff that's so unique. And, this man came out of retirement. He's such an amazing man, so talented. But it's the point of what we're going to be able to do always, because it'll be an annual thing. It'll never stop. This will just go, and you guys can watch it on TV, subscribe that direction. I've been sitting there thinking that we needed our own television station, period, where you just got a monthly subscription to watch all you want to watch of nothing but miracles happening, with amazing talent going on and giving opportunities to whoever and wherever we are.
Right.
But this one here is right now. It's right down the road. It ain't far from you. And I want to see about moving on it. I don't want to stand still. It's getting ready to be spring here, and we need to be springing into something. But even, integrating it to where whatever's being created on the 4 acres is getting sold down the street at the festival. But it is time
right,
to
well,
celebrate.
What I'll do is call me like after 4 o'clock today, which will be after 3 o'clock your time, and let's get to work on that. Let's get to work.
Let's
on
do
that.
It.
Because you're right, it's matter of fact, 30 days from now it'll probably be spring because it's February now, so March will be here. In
yep.
a matter of days, to be honest about it. I mean, we're halfway. Well, we're more than halfway through this month. So
let's look down the line to what it would take to have something with a roof over it. And we would need to raise $20,000 to have a 4,000 square foot building stood up that could play rain, sleet, or snow. We know it ain't going to
right.
sleet or snow. So we got to deal with rain maybe, but we could set that up and then be able to take it down later. So it's just something that'll be there, and that would be something that we can work towards, like on the first event, raising money to build this.
Right.
And then next time,
well, that makes
next
sense.
Week,
yeah, something that we can put up with a roof, take it down, and as a fundraiser, just keep things going. Well, I'm sure. I don't know the history of Luckenbach because, like I say, Luckenbach is only 10 acres big. But they open 7 days a week, so they have you can get weddings there. They have musical acts that come through there practically every week. It's a whole lot of things that can be done in Luckenbach, Texas. I mean, it's a town. Now, I've covered that before for people that haven't listened, but so give me a call this afternoon on that, and let's get to work on that so we can start promoting it this week as well. Hold on, Chris. 407, area code, your mic is open. 407, I'm mute.
Great day, good morning. This is Viata, your holistic life coach. And Chris, you're talking about starting a TV station. It's called YouTube. That's all you need to do is promote it on YouTube. YouTube is the new TV and news state platform. So that's what we can utilize to get our message out. And it's just a matter of making it entertaining and informative. So you've got all this these great ideas, all this energy. Let's just put it into a YouTube channel and promote it, promote it, promote it. So I love hearing how creative Chris is. Well, so many ideas, so many ways to get this powerful message out about building your own health. And I'm here to remind you as a holistic life coach, don't neglect your health. The number one cause of disease is, does anybody know?
Distress.
Yes,
I didn't say stress,
period.
Distress.
Yeah, stress. So if you don't have your health, there's no wealth. You can't build anything if you're in a hospital bed and you're sick and tired. So I'm promoting health and well-being every Friday morning on my blog talk show. For 2 hours, I bring the latest information, not only of stress issues, but how to take care of stress. And I have a YouTube channel, The Otis Tiny House Village, thanks to L.A. motivating me to start it. I'm trying to get that moving, and I am getting it moving very slowly, promoting ideas like Chris, what you and Chris are doing, to help people shift their thinking from McMansions and big houses to land and tiny houses. So I'm excited to promote health, though, because that's what my dad did for 95 years, and I'm his legacy. And he had great health up until his 90s, so I'm promoting the same. Gather health is wealth. And if you want to make money off health, you're having a strong health, I'm promoting Melaleuca.com as my health club. Because you can buy essential oils, you can buy the products you need that are less toxic and safer. Because these days the environment we live in is so toxic that we have to really be mindful of the energy that our body is putting out and what you put in the body. So thank you, LA and Chris, for bringing all this great information. That's much needed. And I want to say something about the shoes. The shoes, we need to take our shoes off. When I promote health and wealth, what helps you, your body heal and be energized is walking barefoot in the earth. It's called grounding or earthing. So, people, we got enough shoes in the planet. Great idea, Trump. But people need to learn how to take their shoes off and walk barefoot. That's what's going to bring their health. All that leather and plastic is ruining people's health. But I like Kanye. What I don't know if you heard what happened with Kanye West at, in the Super Bowl ad he did.
No, I missed all of that because the commercials are the best part of the Super Bowl for me. What he said?
Okay, he made a commercial for the Super Bowl on his cell phone in his car, okay, in the dark, his gold teeth showing. And basically what he was saying was he didn't put any money in advertising other than this ad with his teeth. And then he said, go to my website. Now, he spent $7 million on that ad for the Super Bowl. But guess what? When people went to Spotify, he made $19 million or more. It's actually gone up. The last time I checked, it was 20-some million. That's how many people went to the website he gave on the Super Bowl ad and bought his music, and he had shoes and all of these other kind of things. But I thought that was – he's brilliant anyway, but he's making his climb back to being a billionaire because what he's creative. He is very creative. So that's what we're doing. We're creating new opportunities.
Creating value.
And value. Exactly. Okay. Hold on. I got to take a call.
All right. One thing while she's taking that call is speaking about local talent, Chris, and radio, I mean, not radio, podcast audience, is Viata makes, man, I would call it gourmet popcorn. I'm going to see if she would. When we act on this, what you're talking about, Chris, at the 4 Acres or anywhere.
So I'm back.
Oh, yeah, Viata, I was getting ready to tell people, one, what you could turn into an asset, we're talking about you. and could probably make money for other people, but it's a healthy snack is your popcorn. You ever thought about, you just make it for yourself and family and friends. I already know that. But just an idea I'm throwing out there.
There is a popcorn. There's already a popcorn out there that has almost the same ingredients that I put in mine. So, I don't want to compete. I could compete with them, but that's an investment I don't need to make. I could sell that popcorn at local events.
Yeah, start with something simple.
Because it is good.
Start with this festivals right here, and we know that your product can be there, and plus it's reaching everybody that's coming
And nobody else is going to be selling popcorn. We can make sure of that.
That's right.
Right,
you
right.
don't have exclusive rights, but I've had it a couple of times, and it's absolutely delicious. I know there are other gourmet popcorns, but I'm talking about Viata's, what I'm calling right now, gourmet part. It's simple. I'm not asking to reveal a recipe or nothing like that. I didn't ask when I've had it. All I know is it tastes good.
Yeah, and there's another popcorn that tastes pretty much the same. Yeah, but you're right. I could do that at local events and probably make, some money. But that'd be a lot of popcorn.
Yeah, you'd be the only one. We make sure you'd be the only one selling popcorn. That's all right there.
Because
I like the idea that Chris had. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when I go to the farmer's market, the longest line sometimes is the guy selling popcorn. So, popcorn is always a top seller.
It's a snack, and you can get full from it, but not, stuffed from it. You're not going to gain weight or nothing like that. So, you can eat as much as that you want. It's just a healthy, snack.
Yeah, I'd have to, I'd have to invest in plastic bags. I'm so fed up with people throwing away plastic.
Well, fine.
I go around.
Whatever. Is there any other type of bag that you can have, like paper or whatever?
Well, I'd have to, that would be the research, product research. I'd have to do some research and find that out because I sure don't want to be investing in nobody's plastic. I go around my neighborhood every week picking up everybody's plastic that they have thrown out on the ground. I'm so sick of that. They need to have cameras out all over the streets just to get the people throwing away plastic.
Let's talk about this.
Generate
money from plastic. Yeah, and thank you for the YouTube idea. I say let's go, let's do it.
Viata's channel is already set up.
Right. So plastic. But let's talk about the plastic bags. This is a way that we can generate money to solve these problems that we're needing to solve. Coming up with the generation of money so we can do the projects that we want to do is we have bags that are made from plant-based, and they're biodegradable. And
that's an excellent idea.
So let's go to that bag, go to all of these stores, and we sell our bags to them. Period. And we change them all.
That makes sense, because I know when I was going to the Green Fest, when I went to the Green Fest, they had plates and utensils that were plant-based, so they were biodegradable.
All plant-based stuff. Right. We can do
all plant-based
thing.
Stuff.
Right. And then we just offer the product to all of our communities, and we raise the money through our communities on what you're going and picking up every day and utilizing in your own way. The change what we're seeing out here.
Right,
and
because that plastic that you're picking up, Viata, can be upcycled, but that's a whole other podcast. They got people making bricks now out of plastic.
And, if I had a truck, I would collect all the plastic I collect every week. I would take all that, keep it, store it, and make use of it somehow because it's a shame.
Well,
it's not
there
a lot
recycling
we can do.
Places. There is recycling places that will recycle your plastic. And what he said was, they do make a product called E-Blocks. And they make recycled plastic, styrofoam, and fiberglass. So They can do the things that we normally can't do after a disaster. They can take all them boats and all that stuff, and they can actually make this block that it winds up coming together all through a chemical reaction. When it's all bound together, though, it's a very solid system, and it can mold to anything. And, you know, so there's a lot of option to what we can do with what we already have the problems of doing. But if we could stop the adding of plastic by going this other route and, you know, even going to Aldi's, okay, Aldi's went to a paper bag, but they charge you for the bag, okay? So even if a store would charge maybe the penny or two or three that we might be extra a bag, the customer would pay it to not handle that plastic bag when they get home and wad it up into a pocket and throw it either in a bag or in the trash. They wouldn't do it.
You know what, Chris, you made me just think of, when you were speaking, made me think about a documentary, one of the best I've ever seen, that Beata, you turned me on to it this past weekend. With Killer Mike.
Yes.
You know, in the episode when they, you know, when the Crips and the Bloods, they had their own soda.
Right.
Yeah, soda. But I guess it was the Crips. I don't know who's blue, the blue guys. They went in and they tried to sell their pop to people who already had a storefront. No takers. So then they went to a farmer's market, and they had success with that. And then based on that, I thought about that as Chris was talking, because like I said, with the popcorn and with the biodegradable bags that he was talking about, because then you get foot traffic from that, then you could take it to small mom and pop outlets and – just, you know, it depends on how far you want to go with it. But, Viola, what was the name of that documentary? It's on Netflix, people, by the way.
It's just Killer Mike. Just look for Killer Mike. It'll come on up.
Yeah. Go on Netflix. Look, type in Killer Mike. And it's, what's it about, 6 episodes?
Yeah.
Yeah, about 6. I binge watched the whole thing. It didn't take all night to do it either, but it's he's got some pretty interesting. What he did was the Crips and the Blood. Well, you know what? I don't want to spoil it. Watch it. Just go to Netflix, punch in Killer Mike doc. You know, Killer Mike and some pretty interesting stuff in there. But
it's called Trigger. It's called Trigger Warning with Killer Mike.
There you go. Trigger Warning by
with
excellent
Killer
documentary.
Mike. Yeah, he's off the chain, to be say the least.
Right. And you know what? Basically, it's what they were doing is essentially what Killer Mike was doing all through that documentary was different ways of, you know, taking a problem and turning it into an asset.
Right.
You know, I mean, that whole documentary, that's what really just kept my attention. I just, all right, we went through the night, and each, I highly recommend it. Like I say, it's one of the best documentaries I've ever seen. So thank you, Viola.
Right.
So,
yeah, it's creative. Because we're creative.
Anything you
want to
promote?
We can do anything.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I love the ideas, because what Chris was saying, utilizing local talent, because I never thought about that. This local talent everywhere, you know. So all we need to do is just tap into it. We already have the basic, you know, places that we need where we can actually legally set up stuff. So and it can help finance anything else that we need financed.
You know.
So on that, do you have anything you want to promote? Yeah, Chris.
As I said, I'm promoting health and well-being, and Melaleuca.com is my new partner, business company I'm suggesting people stop making Jeff Bezos richer and Walmart corruption continue, and just start your own buying club and go to Melaleuca.com and check out some of the products that you can order once a month and skip the Walmart and Amazon.
And Viata, your website is, so they can get more information.
Your Holistic Life Coach. That's YOURHOLISTIC LifeCoach.com.
Okay. And she's on Friday on the Female Solution, as well as on Sundays for Soul Purpose Healing. And Chris, what do you have for us?
Let's see. Well, I'm going to say thank you. My mind.
Oh, you got, is your program, radio program on tonight, podcast on tonight? Is it on every night?
Yep, it's on every night.
All right, give us that information for tonight.
It's a Lone Wolf with Kyler Davenport on Blog Talk Radio. And you can go look at hopeforhousing.org. If you need those solutions in your community, reach out. You can go to youthprofitventures.com. That right there can change everything that you're thinking, because everything you're thinking can become a reality if it's a good thought. Don't want it to be a bad one. Now your 4 acres is down the road from this 10 acres. And I was sitting there having a thought that's not very far. Down the road is not very far. And because as far as I know, it's right there in Lakeland, outside in the rural area. So it can't be that far.
All right. My 4 acres is like 3 hours away from Lakeland. It's in Florida, but it's the third or 29, a half hour away from Valdosta, Georgia, and it's 90 minutes away from Jacksonville, Florida, and it's about 3 hours away from here, and probably about 2.5 or almost 3 hours away from Orlando. So that's where that is. Still doable though. Everything we're talking about, we can still do it there.
Oh yeah, no. And the other thought was having other places that they can go visit, because of course we're going to be developing and doing some things there, and it being something to divert the people as they're part of this festival to go over here and see what's happening in this community, how it sustains itself, so that they can go back home with the thought that they can do something in their community that ain't been done yet. You know, anytime we try to talk sustainability, not just the ability of doing it, but sustainability after doing it. So that we're not sitting here always fighting a problem. So, I know that right there in your community, right here in mine, we've got places that use bags every day, lots of them. And if we got a group of volunteers together, they would go around and say, will you switch? And this is why. I'm pretty sure they would do it. But even if they had to pass the cost on to their customer, I think they would do it. We just need to put that why behind it. So maybe we can give that some thought for another show here. But it doesn't have to be at bags, but that's pretty simple. It's already in our hands. I mean, we'll put it in there so they give it to everybody else. And even what we put on the bag, maybe we put that why they got that bag, what that bag does, you know, and not let it just tow your stuff home, but maybe it'll grow home, you know. It'll build one. somebody will from it. Somebody will build a greenhouse that'll have the vegetables in it. So, I don't know. That's something I was thinking about while everybody was talking. And also, if it was close enough, I was going to say we could have different stages going and music at each one, just different music. So if someone wanted to go and listen to this, they could if this was going on over here. But that was just another thought because, like I said, I didn't know the geographics of that thing. I'm just having the geographics in my head that it's in Florida.
Well, Justin, we take a page out of this sneaker con thing. This sneaker, and I'm going to do some homework on it this afternoon. I mean, there's sneaker expos now where you have local people as well as people that are coming. I mean, I'll find out the demographics on it, but it's like, say, on our fake. Well, you know what? Just put in Sneaker Con or Sneaker Head in YouTube or any search engine, and it's a major industry now. You know, basically unregulated.
Well,
which,
if you think of it this way, every person normally has 2 feet. Some of them don't have any.
Right.
True. But if you look, everybody has 2 feet. Now, how many people have vanity? All of them. You know what I mean? So you're looking at an industry that will never stop because what do feet do? They beat up them shoes. So the more vain they are, the more they're going to buy. So it's actually, I think, an untapped clean market. That's why Nike made $90 billion last year.
Oh, now, Chris, I agree with you. It is untapped because I'm looking at this from a pioneer aspect. If, like, you have just with the sneaker, it doesn't have to be sneakers, but I'm just going to use sneakers because that's what I started out with today. If you have, take a church, you know, they're coming out of wintertime, or they got these big heating bills. First thing, you don't have to educate people on footwear. They're going to buy it. So a church, an individual, a neighborhood, if you put together something that people, you really don't have to educate them on it, and they're going to buy it anyway, I mean, and the product doesn't have to cost $300 or even $100, but find something, you're right, it's an untapped market, totally untapped.
And so is food, because there's too much waste. And if we can take food, turn it into a sustainable situation for the people that buy it, anybody that can't afford to buy it will have all they need to eat. And we stop the waste of, because it is tremendous. And, you know, a lot of that reality needs to be out there. You know, we need a certain amount of protein a day. And the thing is the mushrooms that grow in these systems have more protein than meat. And I know that none of our teeth are carnivores. We are not carnivores. Man, we got teeth like a horse, but they're smaller. But you don't see the horse eating meat. But you also don't
right.
taste
the
it.
Horses, gorillas, giraffes.
But
right.
If you look
you
at,
don't see
but if you look, hey, that's true. But if you look at the people who did a carnivore fast diet for a long period of time, they got rid of all of their health problems. I think the key is when you reduce the amount of food, period, that you put in your body, then it gives your body more energy and time to heal whatever's going on. I was shocked. I looked at probably over 20 YouTube videos on carnivore diet. I was like, what? Who? That people who are eating meat, all nothing but meat, for a long period of time, and all of their health issues went away. And I think the bottom line is that when you stop putting all this food, processed vegetables, all of it, too much, people are eating too much food. That's why we're wasting it. Now, when you just eat nothing but meat, people's all their healthy because they didn't, they let their bodies have a break from digesting all this processed crap and everything else. So I'm just saying, there's something legitimate about going on a single food diet for a long period of time that allows your body to heal the things that need healing.
Okay. All right. Yeah, Chris, you were saying?
No, I agree. And I'm, you know, I'm not saying that we can't eat meat. I just know we don't like the taste of it unless we season it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's the case with most people. Yeah.
Right. And most people can take a vegetable and maybe add water to it by washing it, but they'll eat it. And
meat is therapeutic. Meat is therapeutic when it's used like a carnivore diet. It becomes medicine. It becomes medicine. Other foods are not used as medicine. They're used for comfort and taste and all that. But when you're eating nothing but meat for like some people, I think for a whole year I saw one video, this woman ate nothing but meat. And I thought, how could you do that? But she got rid of all her health issues. That was the key.
No.
Interesting.
You know, and everybody reacts differently to things. Some people don't even eat meat, you know, and I do. I'm a meat and potato guy, okay? So I'm not trying to push it. I was probably the one that, man, you put some vegetables in front of me, more than likely they're still going to be there. I'm going to share them with somebody else so they'll eat them. There was something about it. And now I'm growing on certain vegetables I can eat, you know. But I wouldn't even eat onions and green peppers unless I cooked them because I wanted them where they weren't crunchy. I love the flavor, but
I
didn't want to know I was
eating. If you have any health challenges, though, you need to leave out the potatoes. Just eat the meat and maybe some greens.
Leave out
the potatoes.
I agree.
If you don't have health challenges, then just enjoy your meals and eat whatever you want. But if you have, rather than going to a doctor that's going to prescribe medications that will have side effects and put you in the hospital, stop eating too much food, and that's your medicine, is to concentrate on one food, in this case meat, one food only. And that's, just go to YouTube. Don't take my word for it. Go to YouTube and watch carnivore diet testimonies. You'll be shocked.
All right, check that out myself.
I'm going to have to check it out, but me being shocked about it would be funny, but I'm not shocked about it. Because I learned things, how my body's going to react, how others react, all kinds of different things, from sound waves to whatever. My day is just unknown to me what my conversations are going to be. But I keep my mind open. And so, yes, you know, I agree with you. I'm not one of those people that are on medicines and stuff, and that I don't take any medicine. I'm, you know, me being 52 years old, I'm pretty happy with that. That I can get up and I don't even have to have coffee in the morning. But it's also, you know, I am driven. One thing that I learned was about potatoes, just so everybody knows, if you eat them hot, they're a starch. If you let them cool, they become a sugar. So there is a difference there. And a lot of times I'll just eat cold potatoes.
So that's okay. But if you're also drinking fructose syrup, if you're also drinking fruit juice, you're eating a lot of candy, you're eating a lot of sweets, that's going to affect your blood sugar. So that's why potatoes are not a food that should be taken in regularly if you're eating a lot of other sugars. Throw your blood sugar off, really, and they call soda diet water. What, soda, if anybody's eating any soda that has high fructose syrup in it, that's called diabetes water, some people call it, say. Because you're asking for an imbalance in your body that will create disease if you're putting too much sugar in it. And we're addicted to sugar. Everybody is addicted on some level. So we got to get that under control. That's part of the health message. Your body is stressed when you have all that sugar going in, whether it's potatoes or apples, oranges, candy, donuts, fructose syrup, soda, all of that. Too much. It's way too much. That's why that carnivore diet heals people. They give up all that crap, and the body says, wow, I get a break now from all that crap they've been eating, and it starts healing whatever you need healing.
It wouldn't make me mad because I'm cool with just eating meat. I love it. I love having conversations with people because, see, that right there gives me a reason to go watch YouTube and see about the carnivore diet. Because that would actually make me happy.
Yeah, I'm going to check that out myself, yeah.
If I eat vegetables.
But anyway, I've got to run. Thank you guys for a great show.
Okay, well, that's it for today. Everyone have a good rest of the day.